You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm just kidding, like Jason, unless you're going to do it. Hello again, friends. Welcome to the Locked On Clippers podcast. Starting off with a little Nelly on a Thursday, I guess. Do you remember when, it was a couple years back, there was a radio station that just played Hot In Here on loop? I believe it was for like 36 hours of the same song, Nelly's iconic Hot In Here, for 36 straight hours. That's one of my favorite random Twitter moments of all time, because people just kept checking in to see if Hot In Here was still on a loop, and it absolutely was. I never really followed up with that story. Like, what happened? Did the person get fired for playing Hot In Here on a 36-hour loop? I don't know what the backstory is, but that was wonderful. Welcome to the Locked On Clippers podcast, by the way. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, DJ Foster. We don't start every show with Nelly talk, just most of them. But for tonight's show, it sounds like Doc Rivers is finally going to stagger Chris Paul and Blake Griffin's minutes. Hopefully they don't enjoy playing each other without each other too much, right? Gotta have those guys be friends. We'll discuss that and more in our 5-on-5 segment. If you're new to the show, on non-game days, we take five topics that pertain to the Clippers. I get a minute on the clock for each one, and we blow through it. I give you the news, I give you some quick analysis, and bing, bang, boom, you're in and out. This isn't going to be one of those podcasts where it's like you got to go for an hour to get all the analysis you need. I'm going to be here for you every day, Monday through Friday, because I come out to play every night like Charles Oakley. And we're going to just run through quick topics. So let's, as I like to say, stop dilly-dallying. Let's put 5 minutes on the clock here, and away we go. Here's topic number one. The Honorable Zach Lowe released his annual League Pass rankings, where he breaks down every team on a watchability scale, where he factors in everything. Announcers, jerseys, mascots, especially mascots. Courts, the whole deal, the quality of the roster. And on this watchability ranking, Zach Lowe has the Clippers ranked as his third most watchable team in the league. And here's a little nugget from his column. I suggest you go read it. It's on ESPN.com right now. But he says, God forbid they are starting Luke Richard and Mbamute again when the playoffs arrive. The logo is an embarrassment. The court looks as if it were designed by a child with access to too many colors of paint. And Michael Smith, their analyst, adores every little thing about the Clippers so much, it's sickening. I do love a good Ralph Lawler bingo, though. That's how Zach Lowe sums up why the Clippers are one of the most watchable teams in the league. He has some good stuff listed there, too, but that last paragraph was just too funny to avoid. All right, on to topic two. So number two, as we teased like a minute ago, Doc Rivers and the Clippers are talking about staggering Chris Paul and Blake Griffin's minutes. Dan Wojcicki of the OC Register, not friend of the show yet, but one day, Dan, if you keep striving to excellence, you'll be a friend of the show. Oh, that's an old Clipper blog joke. Dan Wojcicki talked with Chris Paul about staggering the minutes between Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. Here's what Chris Paul had to say. He said, it's something we've talked about, trying to adjust that. It gives us the ability to still play together at times, but it gives the other units the opportunity to have at least one of us on the court with them. It's preseason, so I'm sure Doc is still just flirting with things, and we're going to see what works. All right, so that Doc's flirting with it is a good sign. The Clippers need to stagger the minutes of Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. The bench isn't strong enough on its own to exist as a five-man unit. It's time to get one of these guys in there with him at all times. Blake Griffin needs more touches, needs the ball in his hands more often. This just makes sense to me. All right, number three. Another story from Dan Wojcicki of the OC Register. Steve Ballmer is working on some creative ways to enhance the Clippers broadcast for the future. The Clippers and their technical partners could produce a broadcast that includes multiple layers of content. For instance, this is straight from the article, fans of fantasy sports could see real-time scores for players with the data superimposed on a player's uniform. Viewers might also be able to pull up an X's and O's breakdown of the play the Clippers just ran. Wait, what? Like, fantasy scores superimposed on the uniforms of play? I don't know. I don't know about this Back to the Future wackiness where I've got, you know, 8.7 fantasy points. Does anyone ever really play fantasy basketball either? And this is coming from a fantasy sports writer who probably shouldn't be saying these sorts of things. But I don't think anybody really plays season-long fantasy basketball anymore, right? It's all DraftKings and FanDuel, but... oh, that might be a little too much, the superimposed. Let's just stick to standard stat graphics. Or maybe just have every team use offensive rating and defensive rating instead of points per game allowed to suggest how good a defense is or not. Baby steps, guys. No, we have a lot of the stats out there. We just got to use them properly. Superimposing them on a jersey probably isn't the way to get it done. Topic number four. From that same article, Ballmer was talking about Clippers, they're getting a new arena. You know, he's going to be hassled about questions about that. There's been talk that the Clippers in 2024 will be pursuing a new lease outside of Staples Center. Steve Ballmer had this to say, though, for anyone worried about the Clippers maybe bolting to Seattle with the Microsoft connection or somewhere else, even in Southern California. Steve Ballmer said this, and this is about as ironclad as a quote can get. "The Clippers are not going anywhere ever," Ballmer said at a conference this past July. "I will die owning the LA Clippers in Los Angeles." Well, that pretty much solves that. Now, people, things change. You never know what's going to happen. But, you know, you don't say like this stuff like this if you don't have every intention of keeping a team exactly where they're all. "I will die owning the LA Clippers in Los Angeles." That's about as hardcore as it gets, Steve Ballmer. That's about as hardcore as the Clippers are. Good job. Topic number five. Adrian Wojnarowski of The Vertical reports that the NBA and the NBA's Players Association are close to a deal on a new CBA. This came as a big surprise. A lot of people are kind of expecting a lockout, but sources from The Vertical say that the NBA and the NBA Players Association have made significant progress towards a new collective bargaining agreement, and there is strong optimism among officials on both sides that a deal could be finalized in the next several weeks. That's all according to The Vertical. I'm a little skeptical. I think there are reasons for the deal to get done, and Adam Silver is batting just about 1,000 on his everything he's done as commissioner so far. But I just have a hard time seeing this getting worked out. We know what happened last time with CBA. Players are still a little upset about the deal that they got. I think there's going to be some serious issues here. There's a lot of money on the line. For my sake and for everyone else's sake, I really hope that this does get done. There's really no downside in having the CBA get completed and avoiding a lockout. The last time there was a lockout, I was actually working for the Los Angeles Clippers. If you didn't know my backstory, I covered them for about 2 years in an official capacity with the team. During that lockout, I wasn't allowed to write about any players. So for about 4 or 5 months, I was doing articles on cheerleaders and equipment managers and pretty much everyone except the players. And I eventually got fired. I guess my articles on the dance team weren't quite good enough. But for everyone's sake, for people working in the NBA, for people who just like to turn the NBA on and watch and not have to deal with pretending that the Drew League is real basketball, I hope that this gets done. It sounds like there's a good chance it gets done before December 15th, which is when the opt-out contract on the current CBA comes up. Let's hope that this ends up being true. Woo! All right, time. We went a little over. My Clippers story, push it over. Uncle DJ telling stories of the past, of the old Clipper days, and the lockout. Sent us over the time. That's okay, though. That's our 5-on-5 segment. Hope you enjoyed that. A couple things I want to elaborate on. Those League Pass rankings, Zach Lowe having the Clippers third is a little higher than I thought. I thought they'd be pushed down a little bit. There's some intriguing teams right behind them. Minnesota, Portland, my boys, who are number one in my league pass heart, the Houston Rockets, are even back there a little bit too. But I guess sanity prevails. The Clippers are still incredibly entertaining to watch with all their alley-oops and dunks. You got Ralph Weller on the call, as he mentioned. Mike Smith does need to settle down at times, but Ralph and Mike are great together. We've discussed that at length, obviously. But the Clippers checking in at number three. Now, they're only behind Cleveland, who's number two, and Golden State, who is pretty clear-cut number one for League Pass watching. So, yeah, Clippers checking in at number three. Not bad. Not too bad. The logo is still terrible. Do people still hate the jerseys? I've warmed up a little bit to the jerseys. I don't like the jerseys, and I don't want to buy one. If I'm going to buy a Clippers jersey, I'm going to buy, you know, a retro one, a throwback, a little Mitchell and Ness action. But they're not as horrible as I first initially thought they are. That's kind of how jerseys work, I think. I don't think there's ever been a jersey that hasn't eventually grown on me. I do think it's terrible that that was the rebranding effort by the Clippers. Like, of all the cool things they could have done, having just recently rebranded and seeing the rebrand and jerseys of other teams who have done the same in, like, the last 5 years, it's just super disappointing what they settled on. But the jerseys are at least passable. I like the black ones. The black ones are my favorite. I think if I had to pick a current Lakers jersey to own, it would be the black ones. Those are pretty slick. But the logo is a catastrophe. I still don't really understand how that happens to a team in Los Angeles. But you know what, Steve Ballmer? As long as you're willing to die with the Clippers in Los Angeles and keeping them here, you can have the logo be whatever you want. Really, whatever you want. Also, you can change the name. I don't think anyone's that in love with the Clippers name, right? I'd be totally fine with a complete brand overhaul when they move in 2024. Get rid of the name. Get rid of the old colors. Get rid of the old jerseys. Just completely, let's redo it. Start over. They'll be out of Staples Center. Brand new LA team. That's 8 years from now. I might not even be alive in 8 years. I can't believe I've covered the Clippers for 8 years already. This has already been 8 years I've been in some capacity watching, writing, talking about the Clippers. Ugh. Time flies by. I was looking at the listener like demographic. I get these little stats. And a lot of my listeners are from 18 to 24. And when I looked at that, I got like mad. I was like, ugh, they're so lucky. They have their whole lives ahead of them. I know that's a terrible way to think, but like, I saw an old Clipper blog friend, Jovan Bua, who wrote for the side, and we're good friends with Jovan. He was like teaching a class at Long Beach, at Long Beach State today, like talking to people about being like he's an ESPN editor, and he was talking in front of a college class, and it's like, man, where's the time gone? Where has the time gone? All right, that's the last story, and Uncle DJ is old and sits on the porch. And when I was a Clippers fan, the team would all go to the owner's house, who was racist, and have a white party, and they would all have to dress in white. Those are the kind of stories I'm going to be telling on the porch, I guess. Oh, when I was a Clippers fan, the team used to pay the general manager once every month and tell him, you still have a job for now. Oh, the Clippers days of old. Aren't you glad we're out of it? No matter how bad things get this year, keep that perspective, huh? This was, remember when the team was coached by Vinny Del Negro and Donald Sterling was the owner? Do you remember that? I hope so. I hope you remember that. They've come so far. It doesn't mean that we can't criticize Doc for his decisions as a coach and GM, or Steve Ballmer for his decisions as an owner. It doesn't mean that they're free from criticism, and certainly not since the Clippers, you know, have had a title window now for five straight years, and they haven't been able to pull one off. But it is good to have a little perspective. Things were so bad. They were so bad. Okay, we're going to wrap up today's show. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back tomorrow. Again, we are Monday through Friday the rest of the year now. You're stuck with me. I'm going to have guests coming on soon. We've got some old Clippers friends lined up. We'll reach out to Dan Wojcicki, make him an official friend of the show. We're going to have some great guests on coming up as soon as next week. Season starts pretty soon here. We're in preseason mode. The Clippers don't play again until Monday. So we'll have one more podcast tomorrow on Friday. I think I'm going to do it in the car with my wife driving up to a wedding that's like 7 hours away. So delirious road trip podcast to come. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you have any questions for the show, I'd love to do some Q&A type stuff. So send them to fosterdj3@gmail.com or just send me a little note on Twitter @FoxSportsFoster and we will answer your questions right here on the show. All right, everyone. We will see you tomorrow.